Hello and welcome to another episode of A Little Ray of Sunshine, Inspirational Stories from Everyday People. Tonight I will be visiting with a dear friend from Henderson, Nevada, and her name is Terry Clark. So we'll go ahead now and get her on the line.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, how are you, Terry?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, thanks. So, Terry, thank you for being on the podcast tonight. I very much appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's always good to talk to you.
Yeah, and I was just looking back, and when you and your husband, AC, were on the podcast, do you remember when that was?
Gosh, it had to have been like 4 years ago.
Close. It was April 14th, 2022.
Oh, so only 2 years ago.
It's only
okay.
2 years. And then, unfortunately, AC passed away on April 5th of 2023. And now here we are a year later in April of 2024. So the month of April, there must be something about it.
There's a lot of months with a lot of weird things that go on in my household.
Yeah. So listen, Terry, I've been kind of scrambling my brain thinking, what direction this podcast might go tonight. And I kind of want to let you decide how you want it to go and what you would like to talk about.
Well, let's start with maybe a little bit about my story.
Yes.
For those who may not have caught the earlier podcast, I very simply was a wife and mother of three beautiful, smart, fun boys. We lived the most uninteresting life, and then all of a sudden, in 2011, our middle son, Cody, was diagnosed with cancer. He had osteosarcoma, which was a form of bone cancer. It required the amputation of his entire right leg and part of his pelvis. Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, he passed away. Thinking that was the end of our cancer story, 6 months later, my husband, AC, was diagnosed with a really aggressive form of prostate cancer. And like you said, he passed away a year ago in April.
Yeah.
And that kind of leaves me here trying to figure out now what's next for me. I have spent 12 years being a cancer caregiver. And I find myself going, okay, well, now what?
Yeah, now what?
Yeah.
So what is the now what? I mean, can you talk a little bit about how you've been able to do it?
It's funny. For those who may not be members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have a story in the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi. A family is brought out of Jerusalem, and two of the brothers, not really thrilled about going. Right. And they're recounting their trials in this journey. They've crossed the ocean. This is all before Christ. They've crossed the ocean. Obviously wasn't an easy journey. And the oldest brother, Laman, he says to his younger brother, he says, "And thou art like unto our father, led away by the foolish imaginations of his heart. Yea, he led us out of the land of Jerusalem. We have wandered in the wilderness for these many years, and our women have toiled. They have borne children in the wilderness and suffered all things, save it were death, and it would have been better had they died before they came out of Jerusalem than to have suffered these afflictions." And yet, his brother recounts this exact same journey, and he says about these exact same experiences, "And so great were the blessings of the Lord upon us that while we did live upon raw meat in the wilderness, our women were strong, even like unto the men, and they began to bear their journeyings without murmurings. And thus we see that the commandments of God must be fulfilled. And if it so be that the children of men keep the commandments of God, he doth nourish them and strengthen them and provide the means whereby they can accomplish the thing which he has commanded for them. And isn't that kind of exactly like the trials in our lives? We are either like laymen sometimes, and sometimes we're like Nephi, but if we can be a little more like Nephi and realize the hand of God in our lives, it makes these hard things that every single one of us are tasked to face a little less painful. It certainly doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the hurt. It doesn't take away it being hard or difficult. But when we can see God's hand in our lives, we can see how he has tried to help us, you know, through all of our trials.
Mm-hmm. You bet. In fact, tonight I just finished my radiation treatment and I came out and there was a man sitting there. I hadn't seen him there before, and he had his head down in his hands, and I could just tell he was just almost distraught, if you will. And so I struck up a conversation with him, and come to find out, he's going through the same thing I am, same thing AC went through, and he was so scared, and he just had so many questions. And so, you know, I tried to be as positive as I could with him, and the more we spoke, he got tears in his eyes, and he said, there's a reason why you came at the very same time I did. There's a reason. And it was just an interesting kind of a impromptu quick discussion with this man. And when he left, he shook my hand and said, that's just what I needed to hear today. Now,
yeah,
I had some time to spend with you this weekend when we were all in Utah for that funeral, and I just noticed you're still that vibrant person. You're still positive. You smile. You laugh. You seem like you're really taking life by its tail. And I was impressed by that, which is why I asked you to be on the podcast tonight. And I would ask you this, Terry, how do you maintain that positive attitude and you're not grumbling like Laman and Lemuel?
You know? Well, you know, like I said earlier, this has been a 12-year journey. And for those who are listening who might go, well, yeah, I can't. Those first couple of years, I was far more like Laman than I was like Nephi. Cody was misdiagnosed, which makes treating that cancer so much more difficult.
You bet.
It ensured his death. Death is always a possibility when you have cancer, but because it took so long to finally diagnose him, it ensured that he was going to die from this. And I was mad. I cannot even begin to tell you how much it just, I was angry and it just, it was heavy. It was all consuming. And I would love to say that I was this enlightened early on, but it is a process to get there. And people should give themselves a little bit of grace to get there, for one, because these things are hard and you can't always just start out looking on the bright side. But after years of watching our life, you really do begin to see how God has stood by you and got you through. I had an interesting experience after Adrian died. It was probably about 3 weeks after the funeral, and it was a Sunday, and I normally go to church, and I just didn't want to go. I was having a bit of a pity party, and I didn't want to go, which is your first clue that you really need to go. Mm-hmm. So I got myself dressed, and I went to church, and as I sat there in the meeting, I had this thought come to mind that I needed to write down the blessings that cancer has brought into my life, which, let me tell you, is a really interesting experience. As I sat and thought, how could I possibly have been blessed by this horrible, horrible disease? But when you start looking for God's hand in your life, and this has been an ongoing process, it's interesting to see this list evolve. Would you like to hear some of the...
I would love to hear what is on that list.
So, some of the blessings of cancer. A love for friends and family. People come out of the woodwork when you're facing crisis, and people you wouldn't even expect. And they rally around you and support you. And I created friendships that I don't think I ever would have created had this crisis not come into our family. Our oncologist, he's just honestly one of the finest physicians I've ever met in my life. Adrian's brother was diagnosed with prostate cancer shortly after Adrian was, and because of our experiences, he caught it early. Several of our friends have gone to him. He has been such a blessing to so many. I've learned patience. I have learned empathy for other people going through trials. I have a greater understanding of eternity. I have developed a great love for the temple. There has been greater love within our family. My boys, to this day, don't walk out of a room without saying they love you to each other. We were given the miracle of time. Adrian statistically probably should have only lived 18 to 24 months. I was given 8 years. Such a miracle. I learned how much the Lord loves me and knows me. And in that, I developed a greater love for God. The opportunity to be an example to someone, just like you said, those interactions with people that you now, through your experience, can help somebody else. Mm-hmm. The miracle of having our temporal needs met. As you well know, cancer is not cheap. We are not rich. And after 12 years of paying for cancer treatments, I shouldn't be in even a position that I should still be paying them off. And I don't know how we were able to stay on top of it, but we were. Mm-hmm. And that's such a miracle. And then there are the spiritual experiences that I've had. I don't think I would have gotten any other way. I have just grown as an individual exponentially because of the trial of cancer. And I say all this, but with the caveat that I don't have to tell you that I appreciate cancer. There's not one ounce of me that has loved 1 minute of this. And I think God completely understands that.
Yeah, he does.
But I can't deny the goodness that has come. And the goodness that I've seen in other people because of it. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that both Adrian and Cody are near and close. I feel them. And I absolutely know I'll see them again.
Without that knowledge, how do you have hope, right?
You can't. You really can't. You know,
and that's probably has helped you to sustain your, I guess, ability to be positive, to have that faith and that belief. The end isn't when a person dies. That's not the end. And having that knowledge. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, death is just the beginning of something so much greater. Mm-hmm. I mean, one day we're all going to be together.
Yeah.
every single one of us. And how glorious is that really going to be?
I can't even imagine it. Just unimaginable.
I know. It really is. It really is. And all of that, when you tie all of that together, it makes each day a little bit easier. And I know that Cody and Adrian wouldn't want me to be sad. It would break their hearts to not be able to do anything about it and see me and our children, Dustin and Brady, suffer. And I don't want to do that to them.
You made an interesting comment to me about what it feels like to not have your spouse with you. Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, I do. You know, when you lose a child, it's the worst experience I think anybody can ever feel. You know that. It's such a hole. It is, we are not meant to bury our children. And then to watch them suffer and die, it's just an unspeakable pain that is just so hard to endure. And so when I knew that Adrian would die, I prepared myself for that. I knew what that feeling was. I expected the pain, but the one thing I did not expect was that the loss would have this different feel. Losing Adrian was like losing a part of myself. And like I told you, it feels almost like a part of you has been amputated.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to feel like that. And that has been the hardest adjustment. I was expecting the pain and the loss, but I just didn't expect this feeling of a piece of me being gone. It's strange to be out in the world without him. We did everything together, and it's a completely different feeling that has been so unexpected to me.
Yeah, and obviously you've had to make adjustments to your lifestyle, to, you know, now going out and other people are with their spouses and you're not. That's an adjustment. That, how have you gone through that?
Yeah, it's been a really hard thing. All of our friends have been couple friends. Mm-hmm. And so anytime we're together, it's just me, and it's odd. It's uncomfortable for me.
Right.
It's really uncomfortable for me to be together with all of these couples and then it just be me. And that has been hard. I have avoided some of the situations that I would have normally done with friends. It's strange. And I'm not really sure yet how to overcome that. Because I love my friends dearly and I want to be with them. And I hope at some point that I just learn to kind of get over it. But I think that's going to be a process.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I don't think there is a time limit or a cap or whatever you want to call it on the grieving process. Or people say, you know, it's been this amount of time. Time is nothing. It's not to do with time. Has
no.
Nothing to do with time. It has everything to do with our unique experiences that we go through with death.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody grieves in a different way,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll come up and it'll hit you in waves. And one day or one minute, you might be fine. And the very next minute, you just might not. And you have to give yourself grace and expect that other people are going to grieve in different ways too, and allow them that latitude to grieve in the way that is necessary for them. We all have to grieve to move on. It's a part of love to grieve the loss.
That's a good way to put it, Terry. To grieve the loss. It is a part of love. Yes, that's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. The real tragedy would be if if we didn't feel that loss when we lost someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever expect in my entire life that I will ever get over losing Cody and Adrian. I will absolutely move through it because I believe I have a work on this earth still left to do. I don't know what that is yet, but I know I still have a work left to do. But I don't think I'll ever, ever feel like I've gotten over it. I just don't think I ever will.
No, and really, it would be unfair for us to say that you need to, because that's the worst thing, you know.
Yeah.
I look at it like this, too, Terry. I have the same beliefs as you do, and I look at it like grieving is something that we will continue to grieve probably the rest of our lives. Let's just face it. But the way we grieve changes over time. In the beginning, my grief was so heavy that I didn't know how I could go on. And as time has gone on, I continue to grieve, but in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And really, I don't want to get over that because I want to continue to have the memory of my son in my mind. But I'm not wearing it on my sleeve. I have my own personal grieving process that's personal to me and to God. And I think that's important to me anyway. But.
Yes. And I've told people it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay even to be a little bit mad, but it is not okay to live sad and live disappointed and live angry. You can't live in it. It will consume you, but it's going to rear its head. I think it's just a natural process, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, you'll have your trigger moments, and you just let it out and then continue forward, and you'll have moments throughout the rest of your life, you know.
Yeah. It's why one of our covenants are to mourn with those who mourn.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to. You're supposed to care for someone so deeply that you mourn not only loss, but disappointments and hurt. It's perfectly okay and natural, and I think it develops our character to do so.
You bet it does. And we're all familiar with the term empathy. I wonder sometimes when somebody's grieving, and like you said, it's kind of our role to help mourn with those who are mourning and to be there to help them. Sometimes it doesn't take words. It just takes presence, being there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how can somebody feel exactly like you when you lost your son and then your husband? They can't feel exactly the same because it's unique to everybody. So I think it's much better to, instead of saying, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, maybe a better way to say that is, I know you're hurting and I can't even comprehend what you're going through, but I'm here for you.
Yeah.
See the difference there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My go-to words are, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Because there isn't anything you can do to fix it. So I had a friend who, he lost both of his daughters in a car wreck, and we were talking about grief. This was after Cody died, and he said, somebody came to him one day and said, I know God has a plan. He goes, and I turned to her and I said, well, the plan sucks. You know, I mean, there's just certain things. We always want to be the one who has those words of wisdom that gives strength and comfort. But the honest truth is in a lot of these situations, there's nothing you're going to be able to say that is going to help. And so I love you and I'm here for you are really the best thing you can ever say to somebody who is grieving.
That says it all, Terry. What more do you need to say after that?
No, you don't.
Because there may be a time when they just need to talk to somebody and they'll remember what you said. I love you.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. they will remember that and they'll reach out to you because of what they felt.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. I agree.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I usually like to end my podcast with having my guests maybe give some advice to other people who might be going through similar experiences. Maybe they've suffered a loss or something. What would you say to them?
I think I would probably say try and look outward. Having tragedy has a tendency to put blinders on us, and we focus on the thing that is hurting us the most and look for the little rays of sunshine that are out there. God is trying through other people and through guiding you through your trial to get you to the other side. And just try and find one thing that you can see God has helped you with. And it will start making the biggest difference in your life. And know that you were made to do hard things. And one day you're going to be on the other side of this. And you'll be able to look back and know that God has seen you through it. It wasn't easy. It didn't come without tears. It didn't come without bruises. And it's painful, but you will see the other side. And that is a glorious thing to know, that God is that mindful of you.
He really knows this, doesn't he, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. He knows this as if we were the only human being on this earth. I don't know how, but I absolutely know that to be true.
So get to know the Savior and you'll just realize how much he loves you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's trying so hard to bless you through this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you're quite an inspiration to me and to everybody you come in contact with, I'm pretty sure. So just the words that you spoke tonight, they pierced my heart and really just beautiful. And I admire you so much for everything you're doing in the wake of all of these hard things you've had to go through.
So. Well, thanks. I appreciate you, and I pray for you, you know.
Thank you.
Things are hard in this world, but one day we're going to look back, and we're all going to laugh. Yeah. Well, maybe not laugh, but we're all going to go, I made it through, and you made it through, and we never have to do it again.
Yeah, and we're going to say, well, what was the big deal?
All right. I don't know that I'll actually get to that. I'm pretty sure the first words I'm going to say to the Lord when I see him is, that was not fun.
Well, you should. You really should. One thing you also said to me when we were at that funeral was, at least we know that we're not going to live 1 minute less than what we're supposed to on this earth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's so true.
I told Cody that one time when his cancer came back. He goes, well, I guess my days are numbered. And I said, son, you are going to live every single day that God ever intended you to live on this earth. Not one day more, not one day less. It is the same for all of us. It is just the path in which you're taking. But those days were determined long before you ever got to this earth.
Right, right. Kind of a hard thing to grasp, but when you do, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it really does. It really does.
Well, you're awesome. You're a wonderful lady. I appreciate just your positivity and all the words of wisdom tonight. And I just hope you have a great evening and just know we love you.
I love you too. Thanks so much for having me and letting me share a little bit of my story.
You bet, Terry. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Okay. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye.
To my listeners, thank you for listening. And remember to speak up, speak out, and speak often. Bye-bye.